Lord, teach us what we are to know. Show us what we are to do to be your disciples. Amen. So it arrived in my inbox. I tried to ignore it because it looked like spam, you know, the kind that have, it's addressed to 25 people, and your name is somewhere there in the middle. And I had my finger on the delete key until I glanced at the subject, and it said, "Truck stop chaplain wanted." So I was just intrigued by the subject and went on to read it. I kind of knew what a truck stop was. I'd been to a couple. I knew what a chaplain was. I just didn't know how they fit together. But it seems out in western New Jersey, where this was, there was a very large truck stop that handled a lot of traffic, came through the Midwest, through Pennsylvania, and on to Manhattan mostly. And it had a lot of business, and a number of churches around the area thought, we need to provide some spiritual counsel or spiritual assistance, presence to the men and women who drive the trucks and come through this place. And so they gathered a little bit of money and they made an advertisement, and several of us responded and took turns going out once a week on a Friday night, being a chaplain presence at the truck stop. So I thought I'd try this, and I went the first night in my collar and suit, and I sat down. They had a full-service restaurant, you know, a truck stop, full-service restaurant in the center. The diesel bays on one side where all the 18-wheelers are, or is it 16-wheelers? I don't know. Big trucks. Places for cars to get gas, restrooms, couple of little fast food places, and a sit-down restaurant. Car parts desk, repair for trucks, huge place. So they told us to set up at the restaurant, so I went at the restaurant, sat in a booth, and put my little sign up, chaplain on duty. Never mind that no one would know what that meant. And I sat there and I put my Bible right at the edge of the table so they could see it, and smiled at everyone who came in, and not one person came and sat and talked to me. So the next time I thought, maybe I should get up and walk around, which I did. And as I did over the months of that job that I had, I got to know not just the truckers and their families, and a lot of trucker couples out there, you know, husband and wife. Stressful job, always worried about, will I make it on time with the traffic? Will I be able to stop and find a place to sleep so that I follow the rules of the government? Where's the next stop? What about the weather? Gee, it sure is lonely out here, and my back hurts. The stresses of that kind of work. And I learned about the people who work there. Now, imagine working there. This is in the middle of rural New Jersey, where there's nothing around except this truck stop on a huge highway. So you go to work and you're with this one community the whole time, and those folks had their own things they had to deal with too. So it turned out that while the work was not that, I don't know, was not that challenging, it wasn't something that you had to really prepare yourself for. It was really just listening. The one thing that struck me was, I never knew this was here. This was a whole hidden world, a world I knew nothing about. And as I said, I'd been through a truck stop, but I never thought about the truckers, which this is their lifeline, the people who work there, but it was this hidden world that certainly needed care. That was the first hidden world I can recall. There's another one I want to tell you about. And it happened when I was rector of a church. It was Ash Wednesday. Now, in New Jersey, remember, Ash Wednesday is in February. It's really cold, usually snow. So I went around and set up for the Eucharist. It was a 7 a.m. service, so I was there about 6:30. And I was walking around, and the last thing I did was unlock the front door. And as I did and pushed it open, I saw on the steps about a half a dozen teenagers sitting there smoking, chatting, laughing. Now, these were teenagers who looked a little on the edge, shall we say. A lot of them had dyed hair, tattoos, piercings, that kind of, and they were smoking, and they were ready for school, but you kind of knew it wasn't your normal public school. So I said, "Hi, what are you doing here?" They said, "Oh, this is our bus stop." Oh, and I had never known, because I'd never been there at 6:30 in the morning on a weekday. I said, "Oh, what school?" And it turns out they went to the Votech school. Now, I don't know how it is here, but in New Jersey, if you can't make it in high school, sometimes you go to Votech. It's not like you make a vocational choice, which we hope is the ideal. But these are kids who had been in trouble before and had difficult living situations. So that explained what I had seen. And after the service, I was speaking to the gentleman who had served on the altar, and he had noticed them when he came in too, and said, "You know, I wonder if it was really cold out there. You know, we let them wait in the narthex, but it's really cold out there. Maybe we should at least open the door on maybe one morning a week and bring some coffee or something." That sounded like a good idea to me. So the next Wednesday, he showed up, brought it's called a box of Joe, a box of coffee, comes from Dunkin' Donuts, and a dozen donuts, set them down on the table in the narthex, opened the doors, and we invited the kids in. Started talking to them just for the 20 minutes, half an hour they were there, maybe. They started coming earlier and earlier. More coffee, more donuts, more talking. And it was wonderful, but it was another hidden world. One of the young men was a foster child who lived in a rooming house. A young woman lived with her grandmother because her parents were gone. They had all struggled academically, but they were a joy. They really were a joy. And loved having people listen to them. Now, that went on for a couple years until they changed the bus stop. They're still in touch with us. There's a young man who went into the Army, and I still see him on Facebook. But that hidden world, it just makes me think about, how do we know that's there unless we, stumble across it? As happened to me a couple times. Now, Jesus, I don't think he had to stumble across anything. But he was on his way to Jerusalem. There was a festival. Being a good Jew, he would be on his way there for worship and walked right through Sheep's Gate with everybody else. Now, you can walk through Sheep's Gate, by the way, and never look left or right. I'm going to the temple to worship. But Jesus stopped and looked and noticed the lame and the paralyzed and the blind, all the people society had rejected and wanted to push off to the side, where no one could see them, walked right up to one of them and healed him. He didn't have to stumble across them. He sought out lepers, people possessed by demons. Walking down the road, he could have ignored the people stoning the woman caught in adultery, but he didn't. He could have walked past Zacchaeus up in the tree, but he didn't. He listened and saw and looked for the lost. Now I wonder how we can make that more intentional. And I see it happening here at St. Paul's. We have gone to a refugee camp. Did you know that? Well, we didn't personally go, but just as much our representatives went and brought a family here that we sponsor in Refuge for Refugees. One family, you might say. That's not very much when you look at the TV and see the hundreds of thousands. However, one family We learn their world. We listen to them. There'll be more. There'll be more. We take our youth and our adults to Appalachia to help repair homes. And what do they tell them? Oh, it's not about the repair. It's about the relationship. You get to know their life. You walk in there saying, well, why don't they just move to a place that has jobs? And then you go there, and you listen, and you know that's not the question. That's not the question at all. These places don't just exist away in Appalachia where I can't go because I have a bad hip, or over in refugees and help with that because I can't do that physical work anymore. It exists in this community where you watch a care and share group, for example, visit people who are lonely. Do you know there's a whole world of people living in this community who have no one to talk to, who have no one to ask advice of, who don't feel like reaching out themselves, but they're there. And that's another hidden space. What hidden spaces can you find? I'm always looking. I actually saw one yesterday that I wanted to go to. It's the Kroger. Do you ever go to, well, there's not Kroger around here, right? It's in Raleigh. I live in Raleigh. So the Kroger has this place out in front of the store, you know, where they put the flowers and the stuff that's on sale. And it's a smoking station, two picnic tables, and a trash can. And that's where the people who work at Kroger go and eat lunch or take a break. I see them sometimes and just say hello, but I've never really gone and sat. I think it'd be okay. I think it'd be okay. So where can we look? You just ask God. God will show you. Where is something hidden that needs me? I'll tell you one more place this happened. It was only 2 days ago. The last 2 days, our youth entered into a 30-hour famine. They didn't eat for 30 hours. They were fasting from noon on Friday. They came here to the youth wing, stayed overnight, no food, stayed till last night at 6 when they had a lovely meal, and they stopped eating for 30 hours. Why? To enter the world of people who are hungry, even for a short time. And enter it they did. We learned through education and videos and reading, Bible study, what it's like. We played games that taught us physically, just as our hunger was teaching us, what it might be like if my faucet didn't turn on and instead I had to walk to the river 3 miles and carry that water back. That was one of the activities. How long can you hold a one-gallon bottle of water before your arms give out? Great game. And when they wrote on the wall, not on the wall, we put paper up. When they wrote on the paper, what are you excited about and what are you afraid of? Under what are you excited about, the top two things were, I want to learn what it's like for some other people. I want to learn how other people live. Second, I want to get to know my fellow young people, my friends. What are you afraid of? What we're all afraid of. That I can't do it. What if I can't stop eating for 30 hours? What if I can't find that place? What if when I get to that hidden world, I have no idea what to do? And of course, Jesus has the answer. Everyone here who's been baptized, well, at least after 1979, has had this prayer said about them. I'm sure the 28 prayer book had something similar. I'm positive. But this is the prayer we say over the person who is baptized when they are finished being baptized and sealed. And this is just a little piece of it, but it's the most important part. O Lord, in your Holy Spirit, give them an inquiring and discerning heart, that questioning heart that says, where are your people who need me, O God? an inquiring and discerning heart. And just in case you think that's enough, it's only the first step, the courage to will and to persevere, because it isn't easy, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. And in that power, we will go to those hidden places of need and change the world. Amen.